Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We started off just me and Greg saying, I need a hat. He goes, your hair looks so funny. You may want to consider putting on a hat. Like, I like how you say consider, as if like, so now the whole show, I'm going to be self-conscious about my hair. Thank you.
That's why I said it. If anybody can take one little nugget and just ruminate on it for too long, it's you. That's why I wear hats. I wear so many hats because I just don't want to. Sometimes I just don't feel like fucking all the time. I realize why old guys wear hats. Because I just don't want to fuck with my hair. I don't want to comb it. I don't want to fucking go deal with it. I just fucking like put on a hat.
Well, I have stress. I pick out my hairs when I drive.
That's a bad habit.
I'm working on that right now. But I'm in Florida. I had shows all week. I've been doing a back-to-back-to-back run. So it was like I set up like 2 days in Boca and then went to Naples and I'm going to Canada on Thursday. I'm just doing a crazy little run. Last night I did a show and it was, you know, it's like, I don't know, 100 people, but it was like, there was these like Russian lady and some other girl that was like young with some, like not young, like in her 20s, with some old guy with a mustache who looked like Mr. Potato Head, which is what I like said. And so it just didn't, you know how you see these people, like doesn't make any sense. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah, you're like, how do you people know each other? What is this, a recovery group? What do we got? Yeah.
Right. It looked like a recovery group. And of course she said, we're married. Like the pretty one with the old guy. So right away I'm like,
well, hey boy, you know what that story is. That's a pretty easy one. Boy.
So then the lady, the Russian lady goes halfway through my set. She goes, hey, you kind of funny, but why don't you join our group? I'm like, I'm doing a comedy show. She's like, no, this is my extended family. Come sit with us. I'm like, I can't, I'm telling jokes.
I'm doing the show you came to see.
She had never been to a comedy show before. She
come thought, sit in our group?
Yeah. She's like, no, you're funny. Come here. Come have a drink with us. I'm like, I'm telling. Then I start talking about like my penis. She goes, let me see your penis. I go, I'm not going to whip out my penis right now. She's like, no. She gets up and starts walking towards the stage. Saying, let me see. I'm like, man, you Russians know how to invade people's space. Like, I was, you know, just
nice. I was ready. I was like, this has got to be a good one. I was like, with the singer. No one, you know, I got to give it to you. Adam, no one's faster than you. Nobody.
It was just like the whole time. And then people were like, it looked like it was a female Borat. You know, like, it looked like a female Borat. Come on, let me see penis. Like, it couldn't have been a real person. And she was kind of not even like, she's kind of attractive too, which made it even.
I was
like,
gonna say, when you say female Borat, that doesn't say attractive.
But the way she sounded, though.
Oh, the way she sounded. I thought you said she looked like a female Borat. I'm like, so she had a really big mustache? Is that what happened?
No, it was just hilarious. She kept getting up and walking to the stage, but everyone else kept like, was like crying, laughing because it was so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I hope she doesn't try to grab the mic because that's the, you know. There's a certain point where you just like, I've had people come to grab the mic and I've had to hold it up. Like it's a game of like,
yeah. Like you're holding it away from the child. Like, nope, no. Yeah, I know. It's so annoying.
So that was
like, give me the mic. Let me take the mic. No, I'm not going to let you take the mic. That's not happening. Yeah.
Then there was another girl who came to the show the day before, a cute little couple. Like they were younger in their 20s. And I was like, oh, you have any tattoos? She's like, yeah. I go, what do you have? She goes, I have psycho on my lip, on her inner lip. She had psycho. I was like, yeah, no red flags there. I mean, psycho. And I was like, oh, that's, I have path on my penis. They should meet. Psychopath. You know, like I was just, but.
Sure. That's, again, no one's faster than you, buddy. You're so great at that.
It was like, so that was that. And then, of course, like, I did a show on Friday, and it was like one of those gigs where, like, I mean, maybe there was 30 people. It was just a light crowd. It was, and I brought 29 of them. It was, they were
was
like,
it, was it a, was it a weather issue, do you think? Or was it just not a well-promoted show?
It was this theater at the Kelsey Theater in Florida in Lake Park. And for some reason, they're like, we just can't get people comedy who can't see comedy. They're like, the last person here had 4 people. The last had 7 people. The last had 10. Like, they just can't seem to get people to show up to see comedy. So, of course, this guy, Johnny Eblen, who is like the Bellator champion. This guy's a monster. He's the only guy that ever comes back at me online, really. Like, okay. I wrote a joke. I'm like, watching Bellator is like banging a chick with a hairy bush. Like, not my first choice, but I'll still do it. And then he writes back, kind of like your comedy show. So, like, he got me. He got me a good one. All right. Of course, that's the show he comes to, right? Of course, like, he can't
the come empty to one, right?
But then he was crying laughing. He was, and he's like half Korean. So I was like making like, oh, are you half offended at the Korean jokes? And he was actually pretty cool. Like, he was actually cool. Then there was a guy, Nate the Train, came Saturday night in Boca. Nate
oh,
the Train.
Fun. Oh, was it Marquardt is his last name?
No, Nate the Train Landwehr.
Landwehr, right. There you go.
It was him. Tall Steve came. Linton Vassell. And this guy named Dustin Lampos, Lampros, undefeated kid. He's 9-0. He's waiting for the UFC call. And during his free time, he has a business where he catches child predators. Like, so he made a video on his Instagram.
I didn't realize this was a business. I can't wait till the American Career College commercial for their Catching Child Predators program. Are you tired of repoing cars? Do you want a career that's going to really mean something? It's time for you to think about tracking down kid touchers.
By the way, we have Henry Cejudo.
I'm glad he's out there. I'm glad. Oh, is he really? That's amazing. Yeah. But I'm glad he's out there. I didn't know it was a real. What's that? What's the pay on that? Do you get a?
So, no, him and his friend, right? And his friend, who looks like the skinny guy with tattoos, who looks like every guy in like those Die Hard movies, that the bad guy, you know, the evil villains always had a guy that ran the computers. Always like either a skinny, nerdy black guy or some guy that like was like, 100 pounds, but like knew all the, and he was always the guy to break into the vault. Like, he was, and, you know, so he looks like that guy, a tatted version, of course. And that's what he does. This guy is in some kind of computer thing. So, but the thing is, when they catch these child predators, they can't physically touch them. So he caught this guy in like a Walgreens on Friday night.
What do they have? Like, they shoot a net at him or something? Like, they have a lot of silly string. They silly string them to death. What do they do?
I wish McCorkle was here for this conversation, or Don.
Oh, Don. Yeah, I wish Don were here, but please continue.
All right. So hold on. So try again now. Try again now. To launch a meeting or a sign in now.
This is always the best part of the show when we try and fix the technical issues with the fighters.
You got it right in, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it's telling him to either launch a meeting or sign in. Here we go. All right, here we go. Boom. All right. So Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
I got you now. You got me?
Yeah. So I was talking about my weekend. So this guy came to my show, this guy Dustin Lampros, who's like 9-0. We're going to get him on the podcast. So he's 9-0. He started training with Woodley. Great, you know, young fighter, good fighter. But his other job is catching child predators. But it's like him and his buddy. His buddy is like really good with computers. So the night before, but they're not allowed to touch the guy. The guy met them at like a Walmart or like a Walgreens, like some kind of aisle, a CVS. And then he starts yelling at the guy, hey, you're looking for your 13-year-old girl? And starts listing everything the guy is going to say. And then they started making the guy do push-ups and jumping jacks, saying, I won't touch 13-year-old girls.
All right. I'm surprised Chris D'Elia would go along with that, but go ahead.
So oh! Ew.
Sorry.
So there's...
I don't know.
So there's a video. Yeah. So there's a video of the guy doing jumping jacks on his Instagram page saying, I won't touch kids. I won't touch kids. It's like, this is this guy's business now. But
I should have waited till now to make the Chris D'Elia joke and said that Brendan Schaub was suddenly started doing jumping jacks also because he heard Chris D'Elia was doing them. That would have been a better punchline, but too late now.
They both work.
Cool. And I don't see the pay structure in calling this a business. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm glad he's doing it. But if you're not doing it for money, it seems like you should just beat the guy's ass. I mean, why drag him into a place with cameras on and make him do jumping jacks? I mean, I get it. Maybe they're monetizing the videos. Maybe they put the videos online and then, you know, you got to sit through an ad about, you know, Massengill and then you get to see a kid touch or do jumping jacks. I don't know.
But maybe he's billing him as a personal trainer, and which is good because you always want your pedophiles and rapists to be bigger and stronger. If
that's possible. What I was thinking. What if the guy needs a workout? He did, and then the guy goes on a whole thing just to
get him a favor.
I love it. The guy evades police and he ends up thanking him for that cardio regimen he was taught. I don't know. I find it hard calling this a business.
Can't the guy just run away? And he's like, yeah, they could. I don't think the guy realizes he can run away. So I guess one of the guys said, hey, instead of calling the police, can you just punch me 3 times? And he said no. He wasn't.
I bet he would choose 3. Like, he could have just said 1. Can you just punch me real quick? Like, he chose 3.
So I feel like he would. I guess, you know why? He would have enjoyed the first 2.
Right. He's not a good negotiator.
So then this girl Olive came. This girl Olive, her name is Olive Power on Instagram. Total smoke show, right? So she's a professional masseuse at like strip clubs, and she also trains. You know those girls that give you back rubs at the strip club. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of such a thing. That's ridiculous.
I've only recently heard of such a thing because I did that private gig for a strip club for their holiday party, and this one woman was like, "Oh, I'm the house masseuse." I'm like, Is that mean you? The official jerk mom? You're the jerk mom? Is that what it is? I don't get it.
So this girl's super hot, and she has like a tattoo on her head though that says "fuck you," but not like on the side of her head. Like, I mean, like literally. You know how those girls have like literally.
Well, at least you know what her limits are in terms of a massage.
Adam was like, as opposed to when it figuratively says "fuck you" on the side of someone's head, she literally had it.
And then she ends up, she's like, "Hey, I'll come to your show." And then she's like, "Do you want a massage in between shows?" I'm sure my wife is gonna fucking, you know, love that one. You know, hey, I got this girl giving me. It's like Mayweather had that when Floyd Mayweather came to my show. He had a girl. Her whole job was to give him massage his head for an hour and a half during the show. That was her, yeah.
Can I tell you, there was...
He can massage his whole head in about 15 seconds. That dude has the tiniest head ever. That's a lot of... Expecting a lot out of a girl to find an hour and a half's worth of work there.
You got to earn it. You got to work for it. Greg, I saw there was some clip of some dude showing up. He's a boxer that showed up in a tank, like a giant truck tank to his fight, but it's a giant truck, and then this tiny little fighter got
was it Tank? Was the guy named Tank?
Is his name Tank?
The guy Tank who fought last Saturday, who was like undefeated boxer, who's like,
that must be him. Is he? But yeah. Is he like featherweight?
He's like 135. He's a monster.
Yeah. No. That must be him because he showed up in one, and it's his giant truck. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, who's getting out of this truck? And then this tiny little man got out of the truck, and I was like, you realize the tank makes you look smaller. Like, maybe you should drive a Miata.
But he
couldn't destroy me. I'm sure he is a tank. But I mean, that guy's a monster. Yeah. No, and I mean, it was a big fight. And apparently he has like 4. I looked him up. He had like 4 million followers. The guy's a fucking, you know, apparently he's a superstar. I just don't follow boxing because, you know, the way that I follow UFC. So I just wasn't aware. But I just thought it was pretty
funny. So by the way, Olive, if you're watching, thank you for the offer. And I know she didn't mean it sexually, by the way, if anyone's listening. She's not that kind
of. You know, it's bad if you had taken her up on it. You also would have had to deal with Popeye and Brutus or Bluto or whatever his name is afterwards, so that would have been a problem.
Good point. Olive oil.
I told my girlfriend one time if I was Popeye, people would think I was racist because I really hate black olives, and she didn't get it.
I feel like most of your jokes people don't get until like a week later. Sometimes like a month later, I'll think of a joke you made. I'll start laughing hysterically to myself, and I'm like, I didn't catch it.
See, I, on the other hand, get the jokes and try not to laugh because I don't want to appear like I agree with the sentiment.
No, Brad doesn't want the collateral that cancels.
Exactly. I don't need the collateral.
You can't help but be funny. Sometimes I find
But you are hilarious, dude. You know, I think you're so funny, man.
And then my friend DJ Platypus came, who
Jesus Christ. What is this life you're leading? Jesus. So, the characters. You know what? You are a reality show, and you need a camera person with you at all times. This is pure ridiculousness.
So DJ Platypus, he's the DJ over at like Tootsie's, right? He's like the main guy. And it's
okay,
like,
what is Tootsie's?
Tootsie's is like the best strip club in Florida, right?
Okay, see, all this adds up to perfect. Go for it.
But how are their masseuses?
pretty good, but I didn't go this because my wife asked me not to go, right? And I wanted to go, but the last time I actually took my wife there, right? And I walk in, I'm like, I never come here. I've been here once or twice, you know. And then there's a huge flat screen because there's like 30 screens, but one's big. So I sit there, and DJ Plata goes, "Welcome back, Adam Hunter," and then puts fucking "Welcome, Adam Hunter" on a huge screen, like literally on, like. Like an IMAX, you know.
Didn't they do this the last time you were there when you went with your wife? Didn't they do that when you were there with your wife?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And she's like, "You must be so proud." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm very, very, very proud."
Well, you went back. You're not that.
No, I didn't go back. No, this time I didn't go back. This time I.
Oh, I thought you did go back.
No, I hung out with Platypus. We went out for like a late breakfast.
Eggs.
Yeah, we did. We went to a diner. Now, by the way, so I did a show on
who picked up the bill? Platypus. Okay, I can't with that. Sorry,
I actually was gonna say that, Greg, and decided not to. I was gonna say,
and that's why when I said it, I was like, I can't believe I'm filling in the blank on this one. I can't believe everyone just let that fucking the platypus thing. Just
did you guys eat duck? Like I was,
yeah.
So Wednesday night I had a show.
Was it foul? Okay, so we're stopping.
Come on, no more quack ups. So Wednesday night I ended up going with I did a show Wednesday night in Hollywood. It was me, Bill Burr, John Mulaney, Doug Benson, and what's his name? The guy Pete Holmes were on the show, right? It was
one of these things is not like the other. Hey. I've been that every time I'm at the improv, I'm that guy too.
So Bill Burr, by the way, and we were talking about Bill Burr. He opens with Dana White jokes, right? So Bill Burr did a joke about how he was like, you know, talk about Dana White, and people want him canceled. And they're like, he needs to make a video raising awareness to domestic violence. He's like, I think he already did.
Right.
Yeah.
We are aware. Everyone's aware.
Highly aware now. Good work.
Dude, Dana
haven't been this aware since Ray Rice. Good work.
Dude, Dana has been posting videos of his slap fighting league on Instagram and Twitter, and the comments are ridiculous.
Oh my God. I bet. Like is this where you got the idea? Yeah.
Like someone's like, does OJ have a stabbing league? That was
that's funny. Actually a pretty good joke. That's actually not bad. Yeah.
Like I don't know. I don't know. Like I don't know what, because now there's like a women's caucus of California senators that want Endeavor to, I don't know what's gonna happen, you know.
I like the strategy. Just ignore it like it never happened and continue on. Like that's what it seems like. Even with Rogan apologize for the racist stuff, I wish he would have just been like, nah, not going to apologize. Good luck, you know, or whatever. Like, I think if you just, what are they going to do if you don't apologize? Like, what are they going to do? Like,
I think he needs to stage a thing where he saves like 50 women in a fire or something. Like, he pays a guy off like to like shoot up a women's center or something. And then he's walking by at that time. And then he just runs in and tackles the guy and beats the shit out of him. And he's like, fuck you. That's not how you treat. Like, don't you think that like
That would be awesome if they like they face their face caught fire and he had to smack it to put it out. Like he would just be like trying to put the fires out by smacking them all. Like that'd be great.
And he's wearing a Power Slap shirt, like while he's promoting his
advertising.
Like
that's a great idea. That's so oh my god.
There should be a guy. There should be a person you hire for this. Like somebody that will just take the fall for you. You know, like
you know, that's what he should have used as his excuse. Not that he hit her. Oh no, there was a fly on her cheek, and I just, you know, it's like, automatic. I just, you know, I'm trying to kill the fly. I didn't even think. Oh, it's on her face.
But don't you think there should be like a company where, like, hey, you know, like a guy who's like, you know, doesn't mind doing time or something, or somebody that like you hire to like save, and then. You know, like I like one of those guys. Like I honestly thought that what's his name was like Kevin Holland was like somehow connected to all those. Like everywhere he went, a crime was being committed, and he just started like saved everybody. It seemed a little ridiculous after like the fourth time. You
right.
know,
yeah, he's
I'm pretty sure that could be an auxiliary business to hunting down the pedos that you can't touch or arrest.
It's a separate wing.
Yeah, it should. What we should name his company like sort of a hero or almost save or something like that. Like
I'm telling you, like Sean, that that insurance company, right? I called right. The, like from my house. The guy crashed into my house, and they were right. A lot of money short. They weren't covering all of it. They said they were going to, but I was calling every single day. Every day I'm calling. I'm leaving messages, guys. You have to. You know, you said the money's going to be in. Finally, Saturday, I had some time. I went on Instagram, went on Twitter. Here's the company. Dude, Saturday afternoon, I get a phone call from the guy. Saturday afternoon. Hey, man, I'm really sorry. I dropped the ball. I promise you. The money came in like Monday morning. All the money.
Sometimes you just got to put them on blast, man, especially since you have a lot of followers. I guarantee you they saw it. Looked at your profile, saw the number of followers, like, oh shit. And then fucking quickly tried to rectify the situation. That's the way it goes.
It took my wife 6 months of harassing them and nothing. And then all of a sudden, like, there needs to be a company where, like, of social media influencers where, like, hey, you're getting fucked by people. Like, don't worry.
That's not a bad idea that, you know, like a get results, you know, social media network. Dude, where people pay.
I've offered like $500 or $1,000 for the best, most original negative comment left on a company's website, like about my situation. So they have to say, yeah, just like you guys did Sean McCorkle, you know, or whatever in this, you know, and it actually works because you get some people out there like, you don't owe me money. I'll just do it for free, like as a fan, you know, or whatever. And then before you know it, they've got 500 complaints in an hour. And it's like, you know how people are. They think if they get four complaints, like, oh my God, Google's going to have to be shut down. These four people are upset, you know, like that online stuff is powerful, man. If they think, like I said, I had them believing that I was actually going on Joe Rogan's podcast just coincidentally. And I was like, you guys are getting a 3-hour commercial. He doesn't know that's what it's going to be, but it's going to be a 3-hour bad commercial for your insurance company. I'm naming you all by name. That's why I kept telling them I'm putting your name first. We're going to talk about you, your kids, your personal life. I was like, all of a sudden it gets results, man.
I know. It just sucks because it actually was like, I got sad about it because I'm like, all the people who don't have those social media following.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck. Like that really, it wasn't I'm happy I have this. It was like, you guys can't be doing this, people.
Dude, I thought when that guy basically told me what would be about a $70,000 or $75,000 loss to me, you know what I mean? Like, it put me $75,000 down. I just thought most people that aren't me would just say, well, there's nothing I can do. They just would just, like, more passive people would just take it. And I thought about all the people they've stuck. When I end up talking to the actual insurance company, they hadn't even heard about it yet. Just the local agent was trying to hide his mistake and said, yeah, I mean, there's just nothing we can do, you know, because he didn't update the billing thing. I mean, it's just you weren't covered. There's nothing we can do. And so when I got a hold of the regional manager, for the entire company, the insurance company, she was
guess what? Yeah,
she called me from vacation. She's on vacation. Like, wait, what happened now? Like that or whatever. And I was explaining. She goes, yeah, that's not how we do business. I was like, well, it's how he does business, you know, like that agent or whatever. And she goes, this isn't even in our system yet. And I was like, yeah, because he was trying to see if I would just walk on it, just trying to stick me. And it doesn't even affect him. It doesn't cost him a dime. That's what's so sad about the whole thing, you know.
Well, this guy goes, oh, I dropped the ball. I'm like, dude, you dropped the ball for every time. Like, come on, man. Like, I go, listen. You know, I wasn't expecting a guy to drive into my house and have an extra X amount of money to just, that wasn't like, oh, well, I'm going to save this for a rainy day in case someone drives into my house. Right. That really wasn't on the things to save up money for, you know? And he's, I know, and you expect your insurance company to cover it, but I'm sorry. bro, like, what are we doing here? So UFC fights, Kelvin Gastelum is out of the fight Saturday. He has a mouth injury. It got attacked.
Why? Because it's filled with
how he hurt himself.
It got attacked by food. No, but it reacts.
Well, we couldn't. Well, that was a contest to jump on that one. That was a fucking,
no, it's actually just, really bad, though. So,
And if it is, I am very sorry because we love Kevin here at the show. He's a great guy. And if that is the case, Kevin, we wish you nothing but the best. And
his tooth got knocked out. His tooth got knocked. Here, I'll try to find a picture of it.
So but, video of him sewing it back in, which doesn't seem like the best idea to me. I don't know. I don't know if you, but I did see a video of it getting sewed back in like it was patching a jacket or something.
Yes. And then he has something on his face, which I thought was blood, but now people are saying a staph infection or like MRSA.
Oh, that sucks.
To which,
sorry about that, Kevin, man.
Conor McGregor.
We make jokes, but man, that sucks.
So then, you know, Conor McGregor then all of a sudden posts like, you know, hey, you fucking dirty asshole. Like, because I guess something else happened with him. Like, remember he had like something on his back, some kind of staff or something, or like he had something on his back.
Dude, where is he training? It sounds like somewhere, wherever he's training needs a fucking disinfectant wipe. Jesus.
Gold Corral.
Dude, we have Henry Cejudo on the podcast. That's who he trains with. So what we could ask him. But Kelvin's in pretty good spirits. I actually texted him about it. Before I posted the joke about him, I hit him up, hope you're okay, and yada yada. He's also got a great sense of humor. And he goes,
yeah, he does. He's a great guy. He really is.
I said, yeah, this is the last time he goes down on Angela Magana, you know, so here it is.
Yeesh. Oh, man. So it looks like the infection's separate from the tooth thing.
It looks like that, right?
Yeah. It's on the other side of his face.
I was going to say, why? Just because they're 8 inches apart?
Henry.
What would lead you to believe that?
What's up? Are you coming on? No, it's not live. We're just going to, it's me, Don Fry, McCorkle, and Greg Wilson. We're just going to talk to you for a little bit and like 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Perfect. Yeah, I just got to send something out real quick.
Sure.
So I'm at the post office, so it might be closer, I might be 10 minutes late.
No problem, brother. Whenever you can.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Man, he's such a nice human being. Like, this whole cringe thing, I think, was a mistake, to be honest. Because he really is like the nicest all-American guy who came from nothing. I mean, I don't know if you know his story, but his dad was like a crackhead in jail 5 or 6 times. He didn't have a bed, his own bed, till he made the Olympic wrestling team. They bought him a bed. He slept with like his siblings. And he's just, I mean,
well, that's just as a Latino, I can tell you that's just called being Mexican.
I was going to say that he didn't have a matchbox with a little cotton ball in it till he was on the Olympics.
His sister just beat cancer. She's a beautiful woman. She came to my show. I mean, the guy's had a lot of tragedy in his life, and he was the only one to win the gold medal on a team with Cormier and Ben Askren and just straight killers. I mean, Cejudo, Don Fry, how are you, by the way?
That lines up. That's about right.
Okay.
Nope. Oh, he's okay. Talking to the dog. He's talking to the dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. God.
Listen to that. He's tongue kissing his dog.
He's making out with his dog. Don comes. He comes 36 minutes late. Says, "I'll fuck." Makes out with his dog. Smokes a cigar. And now he's off. He's off.
I thought we lost him.
That's the first time I've ever heard his voice not sound gravelly, like talking to his dog. I was like, wait, is that Don Fry?
Dude,
That shows you, you know what, though? I mean, that's a window into the heart of Don Fry. He really is such a good guy, and he really is so gentle and so nice. And you really get to know him. He's really one of the best. He's really a sweetheart. Yeah. You know, and I think that was kind of a little, I mean, hopefully he doesn't tongue kiss you the way he does his dog. But aside from that, he's very, you know, he's a sweetie.
Everything he does, though, is like he's like a bad guy in a Western. Everything he says, it's like they're all six words or less, and it's the funniest shit you've ever heard in your life. It's like everything that, like, it's like I watched Die Hard for like the 80th time, but like Bruce Willis had so many fucking throwaway, like, you know, either, you know, yippee-ki-yay or blah, blah, blah. That's Don Fry's entire, like,
yeah.
Don, how are you, man?
Okay, partner, how are you?
Good. Your Wi-Fi is not terrible, but it's not great. I got to be honest.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'm just sorry. I'm late. Just got back from the doctor.
Okay. How are you? Is that a cast on your hand?
No, just a.
Meanwhile, I talk to Mayhem in jail like three times a week, and the service is 10 times better than Don Fry's.
Well, he's working with landline. He can't do better.
Who's actually free. All right. So so Kelvin's out of his fight. Sean Strickland is taking his place.
Sean's good.
Yeah. And he's the first fighter to ever headline back-to-back UFCs.
I was about to say, didn't he just fight a little bit ago? Like, okay. All right.
Didn't he lose? He lost to the Killer Gorilla.
That's right.
Oh. But he won the last two rounds. I think he just lost the first three, and he just got off to a late start. This is the guy that in sparring goes 100%, 120%, talks all kinds of shit. You think it's going to be an amazing fight, and then somehow just doesn't fight like he spars. Sean, do you think you fought better or worse than when you sparred?
Always fought worse. Sparring, that's what I was one of those guys who was great in the gym and then had no cardio and couldn't fight at all to save my life once the fight started. I'm getting confused on who Sean Strickland is. Was he the guy that got in a fight with a guy that was a grappler that tried to break his arm during sparring?
Yes, and that guy died, by the way.
What? Man.
That guy...
But Strickland just lost. He just won a fight, you said? I thought he just got knocked out.
No, he just lost. Yeah.
He got knocked out by Pereira.
Right.
In a fight that he decided to go kickboxing with the greatest kickboxer in the world.
Although that was his last fight. He's fought since then?
Yeah, he fought Cannoneer, the Killer Gorilla. It was a main event, and it was a pretty uneventful fight. It was a good fight. It was close, but Strickland turned it on in the fourth or fifth, and got really mad that he lost. Fuck the judges, blah, blah, blah. But it was one of those things where, like...
I can't believe he was cleared to fight after that knockout so quickly. I don't know how long that's been, but usually you're out for at least 9 months after a knockout, like that, 6 to 9 months, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, he's the guy, he was on, like, a 9-fight winning streak. He almost gets more attention for, like, He drives around and gets to fights with people on like motorcycle on his motorcycle. He's roid rage. He's, you know, he's always tweeting crazy shit.
We've all been there.
But next level. Also in bare knuckle boxing, Diego Sanchez is fighting Austin Trout. Austin Trout is a former world champion, guy who fought on the highest and highest levels of boxing. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean,
who is managing Diego? Do you know? Like, is it someone? It's not that one idiot still that hung him upside down and smacked him, right?
No. But
I don't know if his new manager's doing him much more favors. Doesn't sound like then.
But I mean, Diego Sanchez in bare knuckle boxing. I mean, even the guy against Melvin Gallard or against Joe Riggs, somebody who's not a professional boxer,
right?
Who is a wild man. I could see that. You know, you're like, oh, this would be fun. Why would you put him against a guy who is a real fucking, like a real boxer?
So, yeah, why is a real boxer in bare knuckle boxing?
Right. If they do it, at least let them do elbows or something to even it out a little bit, man. You know, like something. Let them, just straight bare knuckle boxing and against a pro boxer is not usually a recipe for success, man, if you're an MMA fighter.
No, I don't know what people are thinking. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, you know, you hear bare knuckle boxing, I feel like you can get away with an elbow.
Yeah. They're probably not gonna.
I feel like they're not gonna stop, guys. This is bare knuckle boxing, okay? There's no elbows. We are regulated by the North Dakota Athletic Commission subsidiaries.
So they're saying that Michael Chandler is gonna fight Conor McGregor. Dustin Poirier, who's fought both of them, he favors Conor over Chandler.
So does Conor's steroids dealer.
Yeah. I was going to say, the good news is that fight, even if it gets announced today, is still 6 to 8 months away from happening regardless. Because supposedly...
He's going to work through the cycle, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be in the pool for 6 months. And I don't think he's off cycle yet. So he's going to need 3 months at least to clear out a system, then another 6 in the thing. Wait till you see what happens to his body once he's been on it, and then he has to go off for 9 months.
Do you think he'll have the tits? Do you think he'll have the hanging titty thing?
Probably. If he's not getting them now, probably not. But it also depends on how good his chemist is, man. They always, you know, they always say that the really rich guys can afford chemists that are always a step ahead of everybody.
I'm sure he has the best. So yeah.
When they had Vitor, when they were checking him every day, his testosterone was still running at 1300, which is twice that of a high level average man. So he was still beating the system somehow. So.
But Sean, you don't think that with this whole Dana White thing, and I guess Endeavor's stock allegedly was down and all that, they're not going to be like, we need somebody to come put some money.
Oh, I'm sure he might get the Brock Lesnar treatment where he comes in like, oh, we have the right to waive that on a special occasion. So Conor's fighting in 10 days, you know, something like that. But yeah, they need him right now badly. They need something to, you know, it's a short news cycle, man. You know, something else is going to happen. Kanye's going to do something. Something else crazy is going to happen, and people will forget about Dana White pretty quick. It's always, you know how it is. It's always something new, man, every 3 days.
No, you're right. Don't forget about it. Something else will pop.
So, and then also we got fights this week. Raquel Pennington, whose wife, Tisha Torres, is pregnant. She's carrying the baby. Who decides, you think, in the relationship who gets to carry the baby? How do you think they decide that?
This boy, what do you want us to walk into here, man? You're just gonna set a trap. You're just gonna set a trap and let us fucking walk into it. Who do you think? How do you think they decide? You go ahead. You get canceled.
They're both athletes, right? They're both like high level athletes, both Tisha and so it's not. They both have careers. They're
probably
both-
rock paper scissoring.
Oh yeah, McCorkle.
That might be one of the best jokes I've ever heard. That is
so
might be
magnificent. That's tweet worthy, man. That is
tweet worthy.
That's
stage worthy. Holy shit, that's a good joke.
Feel free to keep it because I heard you use it because I'm afraid my son watches this show on occasion, so I could never. And plus, I'm banned from Twitter, so it doesn't matter.
That is a hilarious. I think
that is going into Adam's next fucking UFC special.
You know what I think that? I think that. It's also a joke that lesbians would fucking cry laughing at that. Like that's such a, those are always the best jokes when like, you know, you make an allegedly offensive joke, but
I feel like our audience right now is like, wow. Like that was really, I mean, McCorkle, you really came through on that one. That was the best punch you've ever thrown.
My only regret is it didn't have anything to do with Shab.
Oh, man, that's a brilliant joke. Now Jake Paul is now in he's in the PFL. Have you guys heard mm-hmm. of it? He somehow also owns equity in it. So
I knew it. I fucking knew it. When they came out, I was like, so what you're telling me is Jake Paul bought the PFL. I knew it. The second I read that, that's all I could think was there's no way he's going in there to get treated fairly. You know, there's no way he's going to let them treat him like every other fighter. And I love that they go, he has a professional boxing record. What professional? According to what organization? Twitter? YouTube? Oh my God. Like, yes, he made money, but I don't know.
He came out, he goes, I've already you know, I forgot the word he said. He goes, his promo was hilarious. He's like, I've already disrupted boxing. Now it's my time to disrupt MMA.
But see, this time I got it. Listen, these guys are fucking smart. I got to admit that, because at least this time, because the problem we had before was he's fighting people with no, you know, that aren't connected to any actual boxing organization. And now he's like, so to prevent them from saying that about me in MMA, I'll just buy an MMA organization. And then look at me, PFL, $1 million. You know, if they
want, he's not going to be in the tournament. No, they're doing a special fights for him, like kind of like
they of would, course. I was gonna say, imagine you don't that. Put the CEO, yeah. You don't put the shadow CEO into the fucking tournament. No, no, no.
So Anthony Pettis has already called him out in the PFL, which is, by Pettis is like 155. I think Jake's like 190. That still wouldn't even be a, but whatever. I would still take Pettis in MMA over Jake Paul any day of the week. Tony Ferguson has offered to train him.
And what's he gonna train him in? How to catch fists with his face?
Yeah, it's like a Trojan horse. Like, he's gonna come in and get even for all the MMA guys. Like, I'll teach you how to fight.
Exactly, that'd be great. He just beats his ass in a training match that no one ever sees. We just hear about it.
They're both ACLs on day one. So Don, did you hear about the Jake Paul thing? Don. Okay, so
God, if you guys are watching the video of this, I mean,
so
I pray he's awake.
So Jake Paul, now I don't know what they're gonna, I don't know who they're gonna put him against. I say bring in CM Punk for the first one, right? I mean, he has no MMA. Well, he has two fights. He's 0-2. But
what? Why?
He does have experience in fake fighting, though, which is what also the Jake Paul has.
Yeah, well, that's the truth right there. That's what I'm like. Why would you serve him up a cream puff? That's all he fights are cream puffs.
But they're not going to put him against a Dagestani guy. I mean, who are they going to put him up? So, well, here's what happened. Also, Mike Jackson has been cut from the UFC. Mike Jackson, the guy who beat CM Punk, who just got beat up by Jake Shields.
Did they tell him to beat it? Oh, my God. See what you started, McCorkle? See what you started? Well, they said, I'm sorry, your fights just aren't thrilling.
Well, it's crazy that he's also, Michael is black and white, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I remember when that whole first thing happened, I was on Ariel Helwani's show, and he almost cut me off for this. I said that I hadn't seen that many blows laid on a punk by a guy named Michael Jackson since the investigation.
Oh, boy.
Something like that. And Ariel was like, all right, that's enough. If it's online, if you guys still want to look it up somewhere. It was. I would constantly get threatened to be removed from his show, like, mid-interview. So.
Well, it's crazy about Ariel Helwani, right? And me and Ariel, I saw him at the awards. He was very nice. He was very nice. And I told him, hey, you know, gave him a mayhem update, because I know that's how that was our connection. And, you know, he made a video about Dana White saying that, like, when, I guess, remember years ago when Ariel got kicked out of that UFC event because he was going to spoil the Brock Lesnar news, and UFC kind of banned Ariel from events, and Ariel was like crying on a show. And then Dana made a thing of, like, you know, what are your kids going to think, blah, blah, blah. And Ariel said that always stuck with him. Like, that always bothered him. All the things that Dana said, that bothered him. So now he goes, I throw it back to you, Dana. What are your kids going to think, right, about what happened? And I'm like, if it bothered you for 6 fucking years, just take the high road. Like, don't then throw it back at him. Like,
no, I think it's a very valid shot. I think he's allowed to take that shot. And he was just waiting for the opportunity to present itself.
There's something about, like, I don't know. There's something about feeling good about actually, if something really bothered you for 6 years, why not just go, all right, you know?
Well, I think it was because Dana recently was with who's the Patty, whatever his name is, kid. Patty, he was on his show or something.
Patty Pimlet.
And they were trashing Ariel together, the two of them. So I think the wounds were opened fresh again, like, because they were on there trashing Ariel, saying he's fake and all this. I'll tell you what, Ariel hasn't returned my last two texts, so he better either change his number or get back to texting me, or he's going to be next on my list with Schaub. Like, me and him were talking about when he went off on Schaub laughing and joking because they were saying he beat Schaub, like, instead of 10-7, he beat him 10, like, to 1.7, because that was Schaub's rating on his comedy special on IMDb or whatever. They was like, man, that round went to Ariel 10 to 1.7, like they were just going on and on. But yeah, he still trashes Schaub all the time. So me and him have that in common.
So, Don, can I tell you guys, I've listened to one episode of Ariel Helwani's show, and it was the most boring thing I've ever listened. I couldn't even finish. I mean, I listened to maybe 10 minutes. It felt like an hour. Is anyone else bored by his show? He's boring. Isn't he boring?
I think he gets really good guests.
Who he's got on.
I think he has good guests. It's one of those things where
he gets all the best guests. Don't get me wrong. He gets top tier guests. But when he goes on, I don't know. I found him to be incredibly boring myself.
So, by the way, so Don, we're going to catch you up on some.
Yeah.
So Kelvin Gastelum is out of his fight. He knocked out his tooth in sparring or something. I think it's sewed back. I think he might have snap infection on his face. So.
Oh, jeez. How do you fucking lose a tooth sparring for a fight?
I don't know.
You know, I mean,
don't wear your mouthpiece.
Guys are supposed to go. Your guys are supposed to go 50%. You know, and they're there to get beat up on. You know, to make you better. They're moving targets are what they are.
What's up, people? Football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You always find the latest football odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports and events. Bet Major League Baseball, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf. Head to betonline.ag. to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
Now, he also, I think he might have some kind of staff. Did you ever get staff?
All right. That was Don Fry, ladies and gentlemen. We love him. We only get him in small doses.
So,
but we're lucky to have him.
So yeah, that's all the MMA news really. That's going on the Mike Jackson, the Chandler, the Raquel Pennington. I mean, I'm excited for fights. It's been too long without fights. They fucking spoil us. You get fights every single week, bang bang bang, and then you get a month without fights. Then look what happens. The whole place.
That's like I'm hoping WME divests from the UFC because maybe then they won't feel this need to fucking oversaturate the market all the time. It was a far more balanced presentation before they got involved. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
I actually discontinued my ESPN Plus service because I looked at when their next fight was. I did about a month ago. Like, when is your next fight? And I was like, when is the next pay-per-view I care about? And it was at least 8 to 10 weeks away. And I'm like, I'm not paying $15 a month for the next 3 or 4 months waiting for something I want to see on there. Cause I'm not going to watch anything they offer other than that, you know? So I really did just this. And plus you can always, I mean, I've heard you can get free links on the internet and watch it. If you're only going to have one fight per card, anyone cares about anyway, why not watch it for free on a stream somewhere. And every now and then it locks up. It's kind of like Don Wi-Fi. Like it's better than nothing, you know, watching the stream.
It's funny too, on those sites, there's like this window of when the video is available and then, but then playable and then taken down, you know, like right. It's this little like 36 hour window. Like it has to have been done, but also the UFC has somehow not figured out a way to not shut it down yet. It's a very short window where you can see a lot of those.
So, I found you can watch it for about 8 hours after the event. Watching it during the event's tough because they've got, I don't know if it's overload or what. So if you watch it right after it's over for about an 8 hour, you're good to go. So.
That's usually what I'm looking forward to, is that little window when it's posted and it's finished and maybe everybody else is logged off, but before it gets caught by the UFC and they track it down and get it banned somehow. So it is a pretty short window, but if you time it right, you can see most of it.
So War Machine commented from prison. I guess he was Phil Baroni's roommate for a while. He said that he tried to get Phil to find Jesus and give himself over the last couple of years, and Phil refused. And now this is God's plan for him, I guess. War Machine.
I don't know what God had against the girl that he allegedly murdered. That would be a weird plan for God to have, but yeah, maybe he was talking about his roommate in prison, Jesus. Maybe he just got things confused, and it's just because of the you know, it's online, you read it wrong. He was like, I tried to get him to find Jesus, and it just didn't Jesus couldn't get a hold of him, so Jesus runs the cell block.
So, and also he got married in prison, War Machine. The girl's kind of hot. Like, what is it with women that
wonder where they went for their honeymoon?
What is it with these women that want to marry a guy in jail? Like, that way they know where he is at all times. Like I don't understand
that. And they say they know that he's not cheating on you, but that's not guaranteed. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. 100% guaranteed he's not cheating on you. Like, I don't know, man. Some of these guys are something else.
I think it might be a dependence thing, because the guys in that situation, you know, I mean, they have very few lifelines going out, and they really just need someone to answer the phone that they, you know, and I feel like
from the guy's perspective, but the girl, I mean, this girl,
that's what I'm saying. I think they like someone that needs them to be there for them, you know, that will always need them. That will always reach out to them. That will always, you know, so I think there's a bit of a thing there in terms of like a codependence, you know.
Let's not forget about, you know, inflation has hit the commissary just like it's hit everywhere else in our lives. So them guys definitely need those girls to keep depositing the money on their books.
How does she even find him though? Like I don't even it's got to be a mental illness. Sorry. Like a girl that's going for a guy in prison and you're like, that's the guy I'm going to marry. I'm going to see him.
These prison guys, apparently it's a whole thing, man. There's this whole community of women that are into these prison dudes. I don't know why, but
I bet you there's a dating site for guys in prison.
I really do think there is. I think there's a dating site for it. I'm not searching it myself on my devices,
right.
But I believe that there is. Oh, can I tell you? Oh my God. Can I tell you guys? I screwed up so bad. So on Friday night, you know, sometimes we do this little online poker game and, you know, it's not, it's what, 20, 30 bucks. And we Venmo one of our guys, you know, to tell him, hey, you know, to send in the money for the games. So I always put something ridiculous in the memo, you know, like butt stuff or something, you know, anal bleaching, something silly. Okay, so for this, oh, I'm so dumb. I put in the memo, I put Taliban monthly dues. And needless to say, the funds got frozen for a few days.
Come on.
I'm not joking. Immediately a screen comes up, is like, this cannot be processed. This has been sent to review. Your account's on hold, blah, blah, blah. I was like, it was a joke. I'm kidding. I'm a comedian. I'm sending all these fucking notices to customer support. I'm just like, it was a job. I'm a comedian for real. Check out my social media. Like, I was backtracking. So I said, I might be on the watch list now because I made a stupid joke on Venmo, but you know, it happens.
God. So Don,
I got banned from entering an army base one time for the same thing. They asked me if I had any ties to Al-Qaeda or whatever, the ISIS, and I said, yes, but I keep all of my contact with them off base. I would never do it from base. They wouldn't let me on the army base. It was like on one of them trips that I went for the troops or whatever. They like literally guys said, I can't let you in now. And I said, why? He said, you just admitted you have contact with ISIS and whatever, the Al-Qaeda. And I said, dude, I was joking. He said, doesn't matter. I said, well, who would say yes? He goes, it's not about that. Whoever says no, that's a felony in addition to whatever they've got going on. So if you lie to that person, if you are associated, they can throw more charges on you. So,
that's really one of the benefits of this podcast. No matter how big my gaffes might be, McCorkle's always there.
I've outdone
it. To top it with something astronomically worse. So thank you, Sean, for always being there for me to pick me up and make me look less stupid.
Don, why do you go to the doctor?
He couldn't hear. He's having trouble hearing a bit.
His hearing.
I feel terrible because it's such a
Don, honor. Why'd you go to the doctor? I was hoping we'd do the podcast. They got pretty good internet.
It's such an honor to have Don on the podcast, right? Like
always.
But then he comes on and then I talk to him and there's a lag and then he doesn't get to talk and I feel like
and he's gone again.
Like I feel like I fucked up somehow, you know?
No, it's just internet. And I think it's about, you know, where he lives. Obviously he's out, you know, a little ways out. I think it's just about that.
Oh man. So I don't know where Henry Cejudo is. If you guys want, I could do a separate show with him. Unless you want to stay, I don't know where he is. Says he's at
the I'll let you do a separate thing with him, just because you know. I mean, you do the best. You do the majority of the interviews. He's your buddy, and you're great at it. It's fine.
So Sean, what do you got coming up?
Still nothing. Still waiting on my insurance adjuster to come out, and so they'll give me my money. I have gotten like 30 pieces of mail from them, begging them to please understand that it's covered, because I think they're still getting some of like the like residual stuff of me contacting people and emailing people and whatever. They're like, we told you it was covered. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. So I just let them worry about it. So, yeah. Other than that, that's
good. Yeah, let them twist. Right. Let them twist in the wind a little bit.
I had the same thing. I'm like, should I take down the video of me blasting them once the money came in, or let them be annoyed by everyone still shitting on them? But I took it down. I'm like, they did pay. So
you pull Ariel Helwani and just like get revenge on them in 6 years over it.
Yeah, just wait. Exactly. Just wait for them to screw up again, and then right back at.
I mean, there. I, Greg, I do see your point, right? But it's just like I don't know. There's something about like him being the. I get it though, because if he was the bigger person, he wouldn't be able to tell anyone about it. it's hard that like if he said, you know what, Dana, he fucked up. You know, normally it's a good way for me to pounce on you, but you know what, get your family together, get it together. This is not the way you should be acting. Let's move on. Like maybe that would have been but instead now he's like on this campaign of calling out all these people and calling out the press and calling out this and calling out that. And it's like, I don't know, man.
That is the culture that, you know, social media has developed, you know. I mean, and for better or worse, obviously sometimes it works in our favor, you know, and being able to get a giant company to fucking pay attention to you, you know, but then sometimes it works against us, and then we use it to just attack each other all day. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses.
Because you think everything that you say, like I'll say something and then I'll go, how could somebody twist that word around to get me fired?
Oh, yeah, I know. Listen, every episode, every episode, I'm like, this could be it. So,
but what do you got coming up?
I this Saturday, I will be in Bakersfield. You know, I've worked in Bakersfield a couple of times. Every time there's a club there that I've tried to perform at, and, you know, they're like 11 people. Then I perform at this place. It's called Brooklyn's Barbecue, and it's sold out. It's every time I go there, it's 120 people. You know, so if you want to come to the show, it is actually almost sold out. So, is he coming on right now? Are we getting him right now?
Coming on right now.
So, wait a minute. Now I'll stick around. There he is. Look at the champ is here.
The one and only.
We are talking to a guy who won the gold medal. Won the gold medal as well as was a champion in 125, in 135. I think he would have been at 145. But Volkanovski didn't want to fight you. Yep. How's it going, Henry?
Yep. It's going great, man. Enjoying this beautiful weather in Arizona.
Yes. Now, do you think Volkan versus Islam? Who do you think wins?
I think it's an easy fight for. I don't want to say it's easy, but I think Islam gets it done within 3 to 4 rounds.
Why?
I think he beats him to a pulp.
Why is that?
Gets him on the ground?
I think he beats him like O.J. Simpson.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you, Henry. All right. So, now, is it because he's bigger? Is it a case with two good guys and one guy's is bigger?
No, I just think styles. I think the bigger. By the way, Adam, bigger isn't always better.
Right, of course. Yes, of course.
I've been trying to tell my wife that for years.
Right, but it's I just think stylistically, just the styles are just different. Nobody has put in Alexander Volkanovski to the ground. Nobody has attack control like a guy like Islam. And I think Islam had a better chance against Oliveira. Or anybody at 155 pounds, but a dominant style of top control like Islam. I think it's I don't know. I think it's just gonna be too much for him. It's gonna be too much meat for him, Adam.
Sean, what do you think?
I'll tell you the same thing, man. I think he's too skill wise, I mean, when you got a guy that's that much bigger and he's at least equal in skill, if not far superior, I think much better wrestler for sure. I think he dominates him. I think he'll be on top and beat the shit out of me.
Now, Henry, have you trained with those guys from Dagestan?
Yes. Yes, I have. Now, yes, I have. And really, what they're doing, it's not Dagestani wrestling. You know what it is? It's folk-style wrestling. They're using American collegiate-style wrestling where they use top control wrist ride. Yeah, they're naming it because of Dagestan, but really, it's what Bo Nickel does. It's what a lot of these guys do. Like, they're still in that style. Like, if now, okay, now let me give you an example. Now, if Islam was to get a better wrestler than him, that's a folk-styler, he wouldn't be able to get it up from him. You see what I'm saying? And the other guy would be able to get up from Islam. There's levels and there's styles to it.
But it seems like these guys just have, like, bare strength. Like, they just grab onto you, and it's a different – like, when I talk to the guy who fought Khabib, I talked to the kid from Long Island. What's – who am I thinking of? The guy from Long Island who
after – Smiling Sam Alvey?
No, after the dolly was thrown into it.
I know who you're talking about.
The real estate guy. Why am I blanking?
Sarah's guy, Matt Sarah's guy.
Yeah, Matt Sarah's kid. Al Iaquinta. When Al Iaquinta told me he fought Khabib, he goes, listen, I've wrestled D1 guys my whole life, but this is a different kind of strength. Is that your experience too?
I'll probably say it's like prison strength. You ever felt that? I don't know.
No, I've never felt prison strength.
And hopefully never will.
For real? Like,
yeah,
like,
it's different. It's different. It's different because these guys, I mean, they're Muslim, so they eat really clean. So everything that they do, like, these guys are legit modern day fucking warriors. Like, where they just, it's like the Pokemon. Like, this is the way these guys treat it. They're training, everything, what they do, it's 100% 24 hours. That's all I do is talk about. You know, me, it could be too much for a lot of people. You know, so these guys, like, they always try to emphasize on how is it they can get better, whether it's strength. I mean, Khabib has these guys literally do a whole practice for 2 hours of just top control. That's it. Wow. They'll legit just have, they'll practice about a few times a day, but they'll have one practice where it's just legit, just top control, controlling the wrists, tying up the legs. You know, it's like the way you would, freaking try to, kidnap somebody.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. No, I didn't.
Now, that sounds Russian. Now, that's the Russian angle right there. You know what's funny, though? You bring up the diet part of it, and I think that's the most unique angle because I don't think people really talk about it or even think about that. But you're right. I feel like that would be a major advantage in terms of developing that kind of – is the way they do according to – they eat clean. You're right.
Yeah, they eat clean. They sleep right. They're obviously, we all know they pray,
Right, they don't party. They're not drinking.
It's something bigger than themselves, and I think you got to give credit where credit is due. Yeah. You know, these guys understand that it's at the end of the day, man, it's for their God. You know what I mean? And it's and I think that's what also makes them super dangerous too, because
a lot of pent up. A lot of pent up energy.
Now, Henry, when you retired, right? You retired. Were you seriously like, I'm done?
I was like, I'm done, psych. No, I was done, bro. Like, I was really done. You know, I lost my virginity. And, I wanted to have a kid soon right after.
By the way, just so you know, he's so full of shit. Everyone that I know who knows him, Henry was a puss hound. He was that guy that got the hottest chicks that no one assumed. No one saw him coming. Literally, they can't see him. He's that small, but he's literally, everyone's overlooking him, like literally and figuratively. But I heard it was like when you were on the Olympic team. I know from the guy whose name is like the Strangler, the guy who beat you. What's his name?
Yeah.
The last guy.
Nick Simmons.
Dude, the first thing he says to me, he goes, "Do you know how much pussy Cejudo got?" Like, and it was.
I heard that Henry is everything that Bruce Buffer pretends to be to hide his real orientation.
Oh boy, here we go.
So,
let me just say this, guys. I ate out a lot.
While standing up. But people ask me, like, is Henry done? Because they know me and you are friends. And I'm like, dude, the kid came from nothing. His entire life he could have went the other way. He came from nothing. He was an amazing wrestler, made the Olympic team, did not go to college, was a four-time state champion, two-time in different states, which is almost unheard of. Then he went right to college. You won the Olympics. Then you went to MMA. You won the belt twice. He needs a break. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, and plus, for the first time, you know, when you lose your virginity, man, it's like, it really is like warm apple pie.
Okay, you did not lose your virginity. Being serious.
But it was just about 3 years going on. By the time May hits, so it's going to be 3 years. It's been the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. You know, I became more of a businessman. You know, obviously, you know, us minorities, I got my credit score up.
who got more ass? You or Uriah Faber?
Oh, Faber. Yeah.
Well, I could tell you
on his right chin.
Now, he got more chin.
But Henry, did you need a break? Were you burnt? Was this a burnout? Was it on an astronomical level?
It felt like an STD. That's why I stepped away.
For real?
That does burn.
It was one of those burns, man, that just
But then you're home, you have a baby, you got a cute baby, you got a hot Brazilian wife, and now you want back. Now you got up to like 180.
I'd say so. You know,
Welcome to the club, yeah.
Freshman 15, right, guys? You guys know what I'm talking about.
Freshman 515. Now, were you now you're probably at what, 150?
Yeah,
like around
I'll say 150 and a half, just because, you know, I'm short.
Right, of course.
You gotta add it.
So I mean, you look good. I mean, so now we're definitely, you're back in the pool. You're ready.
No, is that the kiddie pool?
Yeah, of course. Today, Al Jermaine said, what did he say? He heard his what happened today? Al Jermaine.
He hurt his vagina again?
Yeah, is that, like, why? Now, have you ever?
I think he tore a tendon in his vagina. You guys ever heard of something like that?
I have heard that, but now, have you ever trained with Al Jermaine?
No.
No. How do you think you match up with him?
He wouldn't go past two rounds with me. Three rounds, I'd stop him.
You stop him, yeah. He's got good wrestling. He's got good defensive wrestling. He's got good jiu-jitsu.
But he's got bad credit.
Oh, come on.
Oh man. Oh boy.
I do have a serious question for Henry, which is odd coming from me. I want to know, besides losing his virginity, what happened to the guy that lost to Demetrius Johnson? And then all of a sudden, he's unbeatable at any weight class. Because I thought he would beat Demetrius when the first time they fought. And then when he lost, I was like, man, Demetrius must just be that much better than everybody. And then all of a sudden, I don't think you lost again after that, did you, Henry? I think you beat everybody after that at any weight class, right?
Everything brought my credit score, which I'm still working on. But yeah.
That's what was the difference besides losing your virginity, really? That's a hell of an improvement, man, to lose to a guy at 125 and then all of a sudden you're beating guys at everybody at 125 and 135 and probably 145.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing was, like, I always tell people all the time, you know, bullshit aside, you know, I like to have fun. I'm corny. I'm a cornball. I'm a corny ass. But deep down inside, the deepest layer in me, I'm just a competitor. So after I lost to Demetrius Johnson, I restructured my career. I let a lot of my coaches go, pretty much traveled the world. You know, I went to Korea to learn Taekwondo. I went to Holland to learn, you know, Muay Thai, Dutch kickboxing. I went to Miami to learn Spanish. I did everything literally in my power, man, to do that. You know, I went to Brazil to go learn how to take steroids. You know. But what I'm saying is, I went out there and I learned from the best. You know, I learned from the best. I humbled myself. I was from being in Europe to literally flying straight to Brazil,
and just gone for months, bro. At that time, I didn't have any kids, man. So, you know, so I'm going to have to disagree with you. If you think Uriah Faber got more ass than Triple C, I'm about to say you're wrong, Adam.
Yeah, of course. Ooh, I don't know. I mean, he's pretty legendary. He's pretty legendary. Now, did you go by yourself to these places?
Yeah. A lot of
you
times.
You had a chaperone, but no, right?
I went with a couple of my friends and coaches. So I had, like, my mentor who pretty much by the name of Dave Zolwan, I think he mistaked it for my driver because the Middle East.
That's the guy I met. Yeah.
So he always flipped the bill, you know, kind of helping me out with my dream. And I think that's the biggest thing, man. I think where a lot of guys tend to make mistakes is they're loyal to their coaches and to themselves. But in reality, you know what you have to be loyal to? You have to be loyal to your dream. Because when you're loyal to your dream, you'll do whatever it takes to get there. And I think that's just the biggest difference. It's the inch game. And
Henry came to my show with like his sisters, who are all smoke shows, by the way. They're all tall, hot Mexicans and gorgeous girls. And he has this guy with them, and he goes, "This is my mentor." I'm like, I've never had anyone introduce him as like your mentor. Like, what the fuck? So that dude foot the bill, and then when you got money, you paid him back?
No.
The first part was right,
and you're wondering how you can't get your credit score up.
Yeah, no, Mama didn't raise no food, man. So you can't take the Mexican out completely yet. So,
you know? Bills are like anything else; you either pay them or you don't. That was the advice my mom literally gave me when I was moving out of the house. Bills are like anything else; you either pay them or you don't.
That is hilarious. So, all right. So that guy helped you out. He came with you. He hung out with you. He was your mentor. But then what did he get in return?
A handshake.
He is the most mysterious human being I've ever met in my life. Like this guy, like one day he's in Chicago. How's it going? I'm in Brazil. Oh, I'm in Thailand. All within like 10 hours. You know, I'm like, what does Henry do? now you have a podcast with Mike Tyson, or you had one with Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson seemed like the nicest guy, but a kind of like a pit bull where like you just never know exactly where you're at with him. Did you ever get worried about saying the wrong thing, or you ever see him blow up on anybody, or you ever see that look in his eyes?
No. Oh yeah, hell yeah. No, I've gotten a few of those looks because by the time you start spending a lot of time with Mike Tyson, you start to realize that he's everything that we thought he is. You know, he's a fucking, you know, he's a killer. He's the nicest guy in the world. He's a philanthropist. He's a kid. He's a big kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all that. And I remember one time particularly, and I think they edited it out. And, you know, we're smoking weed with Cheech and Chong. Like, we had him on Hotbox. You know, we're all there laughing. And the producer, like, because nobody could tell Mike shit. Like, when Mike wanted to end it, like, we would end it. But the producer always look at me and be like, hey, man, it's like, you know, the show's fucking, you know, it's getting a little stagnant now. So he gives me the thing, like, wrap it up. So I'm like, all right, guys, well, thank you guys for coming on. Thank you guys for watching. All of a sudden, why does this shit have to be over, man? But why does it have to be over? But then he's like giving me like those same eyes that when he was boxing somebody. So I'm just like, all right, dude, what was your next? And I had to kind of flip it and then bring it back and reel them into some freaking other story. And these guys would want to leave too. But this dude was, you know, we're all high and on mushrooms at fucking podcast. It'll be like 5 hours, dude. And it's only supposed to be 45 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've seen him in interviews, like, people ask him the wrong question, and then they just taste and gives them an answer, and they just get scared. Like, people just get like, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or it just becomes, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, but overall, man, he's one of us, man. One thing that I will say about Mike Tyson, he's the most genuine soul you'll ever meet, because he'll tell you what he's feeling. Like, he doesn't hold back. You know, I think that's why he's kind of like that. Yeah. That's the way he's always been since he was a little kid. You know, right. from them killing his pigeon to him, like, realizing how to fucking fight because he knocked somebody out because he killed his pigeon. And then somebody in the street saw him and happened to introduce him to the legendary. His first coach was Costamato, the legendary coach. Like, his story is, like, It was almost, it was almost meant to be.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Now, John Jones, you were training John Jones for a little bit. He posted like my new coach, Cejudo. Were you in awe of John? What makes John Jones so good?
His rap sheet. His rap sheet of fighters, man. Come on, dude. Come on, Adam.
Of course. But when you were training with him, could you tell he was the greatest of all time or one of the greatest?
Yeah. John Jones has an ability, guys, that is just like you either have it or you don't. And then some people have it, and then they have it plus some, and then plus more. And that's what John is. Like, I could see how he knocked out Cormier with that right kick. You can't see it, man. You literally cannot see it. Like, it's a trip. And I tell you, as a flyweight, as a bantamweight, I'm just like, whoa, I didn't know where that kick was coming for a heavyweight to be able to do that. You're like, pfft. You know, and the thing with John is John's a better competitor than he is a fighter. John loves to win, hates to lose, and I think that's what makes John special.
Now, Kelvin, you're we love Kelvin. What
my former nutritionist.
Yes, of course. What happened to Kelvin's mouth and his face?
Well, you know, somebody, you know, stuck a Twinkie up in there, and then he fell for it. And the next thing you know, he ended up getting a knee to his face.
Wow, that's crazy. He got attacked by food. But what happened? For real?
Nah, the guy there is, they're kind of play sparring, kind of just moving. And then the guy happened to throw a kick, but Calvin came in a little too close. He ended up catching the knee.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, so his the whole root of his teeth was out, bro. So it's like, it was like that much of his tooth came out, like literally. Like, you ever seen the whole root of a tooth? It's like crazy.
Now, was that blood or staph infection on his cheek?
Probably yeast.
Man, I feel bad for Kelvin. How's he holding up?
Kelvin's all right, man. You should give him a buzz, dude. You
know? I did. I texted him.
Put him on your thing.
He told me he got it from a glory hole. I'm like, thanks. Now, how good is this guy, Jiri? He also trains with you, right?
Yeah, Jiri makes a great, he makes the best gyros.
Oh, come on. Now, is he like a monk or something?
Well, Adam, you know what?
Hey, multi-level joke, it seems like. It seems like that was several levels and layers to that joke, but I could be wrong.
Is he like a monk or something? Like, what is going on? Like, he goes to the mountains to relax or what? What's going on with that guy?
No, Yuri's different from a lot of guys that have been able to help and coach. Jiri Prochazka is he really is like a samurai. Like, he takes his shit serious, bro. Like, if it has anything to do with his ego, like, this is for some reason why he chopped his hair off. You know? I don't know if he chopped every part of his hair off, but, you know, from the top, because you know, I think he felt like the ego after him, you know, becoming champion was kind of going to get to us. Like, hey, I don't want to be recognized.
So he chopped his hair off? That's crazy.
But he's gifted. But he's super gifted. Different style, different philosophy on fighting. Like, he read the book, The Five Rings, which is The Five Rings that tells you, like, if you want to be a good teacher, you got to be a good student. Like, he does a lot of things that are contrast. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I saw that you train Zhang Weili, right?
But I will say something about Zhang Weili, man, which is cool, man. It's like, we were watching, she came to my house or whatever. You know, we watch a lot of, we watched one of my fights, man. And it was just funny the way, like, she would react to a lot of things that I would do. You know, so we'd watch it. I was showing her, like, my fight with Dominic Cruz. And every time, like, she would edify me or, like, compliment, it was like, whoa!
All right, I'm gonna take out the earlier part of
leave that in.
Definitely gonna leave that one in. I'm trying to get Henry.
He's like, you know what I mean?
Oh my! Were you laughing? Were you dying laughing?
No, I may be exaggerating, but it's you know, it's just different the way like they react to things. It's pretty cool, man.
That is that's hilarious. Was your wife looking at you like, what kind of people you're bringing over the house? Like, why is this woman screaming at the? Or she was cool.
She was cool, man.
What does your wife do for work?
She's a full-time mom.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
In other words, nothing.
And then how's she, I know she's from Brazil. How's she doing with the whole crisis right now in Brazil?
Man, yeah, she's happy to be in America. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
If people are not careful, man, that shit's about to turn into Venezuela, man. Wow. You know? You know, when they're out there, freaking, you know, trying to sling, when they're slinging fish, dude, like slinging commodities, going to other countries and sneaking them in. It's a trip. You know, that, and that's some of the stuff that they're afraid of. But, you know, Brazil's blessed, man. There's a lot of booty. You know?
So,
anyhow, speaking about my wife, Adam, I gotta get out of here, man.
Yeah.
You know, my wife is, you know.
It's actually not a car. That's actually a stolen car right now. Now, as far as Sean O'Malley, right? Were you surprised how well he did against Jan?
Yeah, I'd say so. But Jan was a perfect match for him. You know, can you take it to the clinch? Can you take it to other areas where you could hurt him? And I think Sean's a smart dude when it comes to him understanding his abilities and his gifts. We might be fighting next. You see, Aljamain is you know, Aljamain's vagina tendon tore.
Yes.
So I think I think they might set up something with me and Sean O'Smelly. You know?
Sean O'Smelly. That's gonna be a great fight. Are you worried about his power?
No.
Not at all.
No, but I will say he's pretty precise with what he does, but that's one thing that he doesn't have. And those are things that I'm gonna be working, like taking a lot of shots to the body. Like every day after practice, just getting hit because he's going to miss a lot. And I got a big ass head, dude. You know, Mexicans, dude, we have big heads. We're hard to kind of.
Well,
I'm ready.
I feel like it's a great fight for you, but I feel like a lot of people underestimate his power until they get hit by him because he walks around like 190. The guy's a huge guy. He must cut, like, he must rehydrate 30 pounds.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, dude. The one thing I have to say to beat him is I just have to whisper, wrestling.
I just wouldn't underestimate the UFC judging if you fight him. That's what I would be worried about if I
were him. Yeah, exactly.
They want him to win badly, and I'm guessing they want you to lose badly. So,
yeah, that's why I got to put him out. That's why I got to shut his little nice – that's why I got to shut the high trip out, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, listen, thanks for coming on the show. Obviously, you're a friend forever, and enjoy your upcoming week, man. So
okay. For sure. Adam, I appreciate it. See you, Sean. See you, everybody.
Yep. Anytime, brother. Take care.
Yep. Shalom.
Shalom. Such a character, huh?
You got to leave in that. I knew what he was doing when he set the joke up about her reaction. Like, I knew it was coming. I was like, what would I say in this situation?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was. I don't think, you know...
Do you remember back at the Kung Fu Theater on Saturday after or Sunday afternoons when we were kids? Like, do you remember they'd have those Japanese karate movies they would put on TV or Chinese karate movies, and they would dub everything in, and the words never matched what they, you know, they tried to make dialogue too long, so they would put a lot of huh and in between, you know what I mean? So a guy's lips would move and say 30 words, and they would be like, "I'm going home," like they would just say that. So out of nowhere, one day I'm at the doctor with my brother, and there's an Asian couple there with an Asian child who's getting ready to get checked out. And he's trying to talk to us, but he's only like 3 years old. So he's, you know, vocabulary's not, he only has the vocabulary of a sixth grader in America, you know, because he was Asian. Yeah. No. So he's 3 years old, and he keeps coming up to talk to us, and my brother keeps talking to him and saying, huh, like afterward, like when he's like talking to him, like the Kung Fu Theater. So I'll know it's a joke, but the little kid obviously doesn't. But I swear to God, the parents knew. They must have known because they were giving us the dirtiest look. And my brother wasn't, I mean, he wasn't being obnoxious about it. He was just being like, hey, man, is that your son? He's like, is that your little truck? You know, like just saying stuff like that, you know, and just as a joke, you know, for me, so I would know what he was doing. But the parents called the kid back over and were giving us the dirtiest look the rest of the time. And it was funny. One of the
funniest things was Vernon Forrest, rest in peace. When he fought that guy, Ricardo Mayorga, who was like one of my favorite boxers, he would like come into the ring smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. Like yeah. He was like, he had no technique. It was all fucking gang shots, punches, but he would win. And right. I remember he fought Vernon Forrest and he lost the first couple rounds and he goes to his corner and he had a translator and the translator goes, that black gentleman hits hard. I'm like, that is not what he said at all.
I'm so sure that black gentleman.
I was like, what?
Oh man, I love that story about that lady that went and did sign language for some like local government thing, but she isn't an actual person.
I was crying laughing.
Yeah, that was the funniest. Like 30, I saw that recently.
Like 50 times. Like she.
Yeah, I saw it again recently. It reminded me of it. I was dying laughing because they have no idea. She's just back there. I mean, who would know besides someone that speaks sign language, you know? So
she's not even getting paid for it. Like she just does it on her own just to be a fucking asshole.
Just to do it. People are awesome.
Anyway, Sean, have a great week, man.
All right, man. I'll see you, buddy.
Take care.